The book of Matthew, chapter 15. It's the text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Again, it is a familiar passage of scripture, and it is our prayer. You might hear it again for the first time. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to pick up our reading at verse number 29. Matthew 15 at verse number 29. The word of the Lord reads on this wise: And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down and on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and broke them, and gave to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. Amen. As we are still connecting to the community, I'm in this second installment of blessings from the inside out. I want to remind us about the widow woman from last Sunday's sermon. She, if you remember, she too had to take inventory for her path to victory in the face of overwhelming odds begins when she took inventory of what she already had. Not only did she have to take inventory, she investigated. If you want to see God, I told you, if you want to see God do the miraculous with what he has given you, you need to take what God has given and do what the Lord says to do with it. Investigate. She had to go find some empty vessels. And I come to tell us again today that you got to find out who needs what God has given to you. She had to employ the plan of God, I told you that meant that she had to go to work. And she had to implement the plan of God, his plan for our life. When we get to this place in our text, Jesus has been hanging out in the community. It seems like everywhere he turns, there's a call, or there's a need for what he has. And when we reach this particular point of our text, Jesus finds himself in a very similar predicament with a very needy crowd. Have you ever been around folk that just need? It seems like every time you see them, they need something. They always got their hand stuck out. Yeah, but here in the text, Jesus finds himself with a needy crowd. And Jesus has great compulsion. I say compulsion, and all compulsion is he felt great obligation to the people. Here, there in verse 29, he finds himself on a mountain. He goes to a mountain, and the text says he's been all through here, yonder, and thither, but he goes into this mountain to rest. That means that even the Lord would say to you that you can't rip and run, I'm preaching to the choir, all day long and not get any kind of rest. He had to get some rest. And this mountain is somewhere around Decapolis. I would say it's in Decapolis. That's where it is. But look, while he's there, he's resting, but his rest, God don't I know, soon gets interrupted because there's people are flocking to him with sick folk. Mm-hmm. They come. The scripture says that they cast them down at Jesus' feet, which suggests that people brought their sick in such a hurry, just dropped them off and hurried back home to go get some more. My God, Jesus, his great compulsion was to heal the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and it was no difference what their affliction was. The scripture says, verse number 30, he healed them. Whatever they came with, he took care of it. Ever how they was looking, he took care of it. I don't care how they was smelling, come on, he took care of it. Then and so I just want to throw out that WWYD, what would you do? We already know what Jesus would do. And in our ministering in our community, we have to learn how to operate like Jesus does. Yeah, you've got to get to that place. All over this district, the multitudes kept coming. They went and they came again, and they were bringing more and more needy ones to Christ and watching closely as he healed them. They were overwhelmed, and they glorified the God of Israel. What verse 31 says, that they had sense enough to give God some praise. Look at that right there. Yeah. How many times we get the need that we need, and we won't tell the Lord thank you. How many times that we done begged and pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord come through, and maybe it's because he took too long, so you think, to come through, that you done forgot that you had asked the Lord to take care of this situation. Oh my God, they had sense enough to tell God thank you. Yeah, his compulsion, his obligatory feeling was that if you come to me, I'm going to heal you. Can I tell you us today that he still is obligated to us, the children of the Most High God? If we come to him, he will take good care of us. But not just his compulsion. He says that the text says that there is a grand compassion that he expresses here in the text. It's his heart's desire, if you will. That is what it is that's down on the inside. Look, 3 days have passed. They've been out there 3 days, and they done run out of food. The Lord is about to shut it down. He's about to close the camp. His revival is over. The healing service is over. He's about to shut
it completely down. The outpouring of his miraculous power is about to be cut off. But he wanted to feed the multitude. I wish y'all would hear me today, because you know how it is. Y'all always talking about, we always eat. We eat too much. Well, you gotta eat, because you need to eat for strength. Ain't nothing wrong with us eating together. He says, I want to feed the multitudes. I can't just send them away like this. Because back in his Galilean ministry, it had ended with a feast for the 5,000. Y'all go over there in chapter 14. He fed the 5,000. And so here in Decapolis, he would end with the table spread in the wilderness. He said, I will not send them away fasting. He said, lest they faint in the way. He had sense enough to understand that they were dedicated enough to be there with him for those 3 whole days. The fish and loaves done run out from 14, and they ain't nobody got nothing to eat. And he says, I've got to feed them, lest while they try to go somewhere else, they be done fell out on the road. Oh my God, that's the compassion of the God we serve. But look at us, the disciples, his hard disciples. Look, had they forgotten? The disciples said, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feel so great a multitude? Yeah, it would seem incredible that disciples had any doubt that the Lord could bring them out. When he wanted to feed the 5,000, the disciples said, let them go into the villages and buy for themselves. And when the Canaanite woman just earlier in this chapter came to Jesus seeking help for her demon-possessed daughter, the disciples said, send her away. Sounds like something some of us would do. You know, we don't want to be bothered with them. Let them go on their way. They've had sufficient firsthand proof of the ability of the master. They know what God can do. And here they're saying, we don't have enough to feed this many folk, send them on somewhere else, let them go to the store and buy for themselves. Can I tell you, when you've been called to ministry, hear me good right now, you don't get to pick and choose who you'll minister to. You just minister to the need. And if I can get us to embrace that fact in here today, we will be a great people for the great God that we serve. Whoever he sends this way, however they come this way, we've got to be prepared to minister to their need. And so it's almost like the story from last week. He has to remind them of some former occasions. The Lord asked them, well, how much food do you have? And you know, they're like, we ain't got much. We just got 7 loaves and a few little fishes. He said, we just got some little fishes. But can I tell us today that what they had was enough? It was already enough. But look, I'm through. There is a command that he gives to the people. There, I'm there in verse number 35. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And then this wonderful, wondrous story, the miracle happens all over again. The Lord had taught the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And now he's proved once again his ability to answer his own prayer. And as Paul would later put it, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the fact that here in Decapolis, the Lord fed people of largely heathen origin. It was making no difference between the 4,000 who were outside of the covenant, them Gentile folk, and the 5,000 Hebrews, the Jews, he had fed before. It shows that more and more, as the Jewish opposition was increasing, His eye was on the Gentile world. You can think that you are holy and you are all that. God is still looking at the one that needs him the most. He's still paying attention to him. And Matthew keeps reminding the Jewish readers about this trend. But note Matthew's careful use of the Greek words translated baskets. I'm talking about when you go out in the community, what kind of basket are you carrying? When you go out in the community, what will happen in your basket? Listen, at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples gathered 12 baskets full of leftovers. That's in back over in chapter 14. There were 5,000 men, women, and children. They had 5,000, but they took up 12 baskets. Mm-hmm. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 20, the Greek word for basket there is kophinos, which signifies a small wicker basket in which a traveling Jew would have kept his food. You know, almost like your lunch bucket. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the feeding of the 4,000, the disciples gathered 7 baskets full of leftovers. But the word here in 15:37 is spurus, which signifies a large plaited and woven basket in which the Gentile would have kept his goods in. You know, Luke used spurus to refer to the kind of basket in which the Christians of Damascus lowered Paul down over the wall. Now, can you imagine the basket that would be big enough to hold Paul as they lowered him down over the wall? They have 7 of those size baskets from the 4,000, as opposed to 12 baskets, lunch buckets, for the 5,000. This careful discrimination between the Hebrew lunch basket and the Gentile merchant's hamper is significant because it supports the view that the feeding of the 4,000 was a miracle performed for Gentiles rather than Jews. Yeah, and this opportunity for the Jews was about to run out. And having ministered to the Gentiles and having given them a foretaste of good things to come, the Lord sent them away. And he went on his way. It amazes me how he keeps letting us know that if you just do what he has called for you to do, he will not only bless you, he will bless those that you bless. And then make provision for you to still be a blessing even after that. Where you get that from, Pastor? Well, he says they took up 7 huge baskets of leftovers. When what you started out with, you didn't think was significant or enough. But when Jesus, when he begins to take it and bless it and break it, you have more than enough. Yeah, we're getting ready to have communion here in just a moment. The breaking of the bread, the pouring of the wine. It's just a little bit. All you're going to get is just a small piece of wafer. And can I tell you that is more than enough? Because it signifies all of who Jesus is. It signifies his body that's broken for you. If you spend any time in any science class and come to understand anything about cells and the makeup of the body, you will come to know that everything that's in one piece is in another piece. And if you got just a piece over here, you have all of who Jesus is. You got to come and receive it. That's why he says to the disciples, take it, divide it among yourselves. You are about to be representative of the community. When you receive your portion,
It's for you to be empowered, to be strengthened, to go from this place to wherever places that you must go and minister as God gives you leading. And take your oil. Anoint yourself and others too. And watch God do a great work. I tell you, he does bless from the inside out. You think that you're doing something for someone else, but you're blessing your own self. It's almost like I remember I preached one time about a boomerang theory. You sending it out, but it's coming right back. Glory to the Lamb of God. Blessings from the inside out. Amen. We stand all over the building.